From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Horn, and thanks for joining us during our fall membership drive. Today on the show, we have a conversation with actor Willem Dafoe. He's now starring in a new movie called At Eternity's Gate. Dafoe plays Vincent van Gogh toward the end of his life. The movie is directed and co-written by the artist and filmmaker Julian Schnabel, and it's not all that interested in van Gogh's mental health. Instead, At Eternity's Gate is focused on van Gogh's painting, how the Dutch artist saw light and color and texture. It's also about van Gogh's friendship with the French painter Paul Gauguin, who is played in the film by Oscar Isaac. When Willem Dafoe joined me in the studio at KPCC earlier this week, I asked, as I always do at the start of an interview, if his mobile phone was turned off.
I don't carry a mobile phone.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Radical, huh?
That's good. You can spend more time talking, reading, seeing, as opposed to looking at
looking at people, yeah.
Sounds like good training for playing a painter.
Yes.
I want to ask you about, Willem, welcome to the show. I should welcome
Thanks.
You. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Sure.
I want to ask you about the shooting of this film, because in watching it, I imagine there were a lot of early mornings and late evenings, because the way that this film captures light is extraordinary. And I wonder what that was like on a given day, because the light in this film is without equal.
Right. I think that's well observed. And light is important. One of the first things I had to learn how to paint for this, just practically and also as a key to the character. And the first thing I learned was this concept of painting the light. And then from in terms of the DP and Julian composing things, nature was a big character in this. It kind of told us what to do. It played a part in the shooting of this film.
Where did you shoot this film, and was it close to where Van Gogh painted?
Close. It was all the places. We really, it was like a little road map of where he was. I mean, some places, literally, Saint-Rémy, we weren't shooting in the very bed because that's like been turned into a museum, but that still functions as a hospital. Part of it's a museum, part of it's a hospital, but the trees, the grounds, they're the same. Some of the landscapes, they're recognizable. You can almost approximate his perspective of where he painted. And then, of course, Paris, and then Auvers-sur-Oise, where he's buried and where he was at toward the end of his life.
Actors talk about how maybe putting on a pair of shoes or some piece of wardrobe or a prop helps them understand a character. In this story, did you start seeing the world differently? Do you start seeing it as a painter, which isn't reliant on a prop or a piece of costume?
Yes. It's related to an activity that you learn, you know, and I learned how to paint, and Julian was a very good and generous teacher. He taught me how to see differently, and of course, I was eager to make that leap, to see a new way, and it had a lot to do with light. And it also had a lot to do with making marks and thinking of color talking to each other, color defined in relationship to each other. But the marks were very important because you really see when you're painting a series of marks, they start talking to each other and then they create something that you never could have supposed. Van Gogh used to talk about great painting is not painting things as they are, but as you see them, which I thought is interesting.
When you are learning how to paint, are you learning how to paint as Willem Dafoe, who is then going to paint as Vincent van Gogh?
I'm not making those distinctions. I mean, that's a perfectly good question, but I'm not. That's going down a different road. I'm just trying to accomplish the task. And the task is, yes, first I'm getting familiar with the materials. I'm learning how to hold a brush. I'm learning where to organize my paints, but above all, how to look at things. I mean, I remember one day, Julian, we were out, and he wanted me to paint a cypress tree. And I tried to paint a cypress tree, and he was like, whoa. What? Look, you see that dark spot you see that yellow? He started pointing these things out to me, and I started to see them. He said, well, do that. Something about you rush to get not the reality of it, but the almost like the signifier. You know, we're so trained to have to reproduce things or have things function. If we see a tree, we want a tree. But really, what he was encouraging me to do is see everything that that tree is. It comes together in the form of a tree, but it's really shapes, colors, you know, light. And that's what you're dealing with. And when you start to think like that, you start to look at everything differently. And of course, I'm not sustaining that all the time, but in the context of our scenarios and being Vincent van Gogh in making this movie, you're encouraging that kind of thinking. And of course, you're able to read his letters, which are quite sincere and quite clear and quite inspirational. And with the physical practice of painting, then you have a key into what he's talking about. And before you know it, you're talking and thinking in a way that you've never thought before. So who is that? That's Vincent van Gogh. That's my Vincent van Gogh.
Does that happen in a moment? Do you wake up one day and you think you've got it? Is it an epiphany or a process?
Listen, I can only talk about that in retrospect.
Right.
Because it's over. But in the middle of it, you're in the middle of it. But you're also aided by the fact that you go to location. My wife wasn't with me. I was living like a monk. I was in the actual places. In Arles, it was brutal cold.
It looks it.
Yeah, brutally cold. It's a whole world. You know, I'm leaving myself behind because I have very few things to support who I am normally.
One of the things that is noticeable about this film is that it feels observed, and that the way that Benoit Delhomme shoots it, it's not only handheld, but it's very close. The camera looks like it's inches away from your face.
It is.
What does that give you, that intimacy, the fact that it feels that the camera is observing you as this character and not just reciting dialogue, could be just walking through a field?
I'm feeling the camera, but I'm also forgetting the camera. It's with me. It's a part of me. I'm a part of him. He's a part of me. We really got to a point, and I can say that about Julian too. We were all the same person. And you can't say that about all movies, but I felt like that was true in this.
Coming up, Willem Dafoe is less concerned with how Van Gogh died than with what he did while he was still alive.
KPCC podcast supporters include UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting LA's Uncabaret, celebrating 25 years with this one-time-only evening of live comedy, music, and never-before-seen footage from the vault. Featuring Beth Lapidus, Patton Oswalt, Julia Sweeney, Janine Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Greg Barron, and Jill Soloway. Also featuring Maria Bamford, Julie Goldman, Byron Bowers, and surprise guests. Tickets at cap.ucla.edu.
Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn. Thanks for joining us. Today I'm talking with Willem Dafoe. He plays Vincent van Gogh in the new movie At Eternity's Gate. It was directed by the filmmaker and artist Julian Schnabel, who also taught Dafoe how to paint for the movie. Unlike some other films about Van Gogh, At Eternity's Gate isn't narrowly focused on the painter's mental health or lack of recognition of his artwork in his lifetime. Instead, it explores his painting and how he saw the world. In one scene, Van Gogh is painting what would turn out to be one of his most famous portraits. It's of his physician who treated him toward the end of his life, Dr. Paul Gachet.
Why do you paint?
I paint as a matter of fact, to stop thinking.
A sort of meditation.
When I paint, I stop thinking.
About what?
I stop thinking, and I feel that I'm a part of everything outside and inside of me.
When he says he likes to paint because he stops thinking, that's not saying thinking's bad, but a lot of his thinking is preoccupied with his failures, with his social problems, with his fear of his mental health. But when he's painting, he's connected to something. He's in movement. He finds what's eternal and what's, you know, temporal. And that is something that I relate to as a performer. When you're doing a gesture and you're not thinking what the gesture means or whether you're doing it well, you're really inhabiting the gesture, that's when you're alive. You disappear into something greater than yourself.
So much modern understanding of Van Gogh is kind of drawn along capitalistic lines. He didn't sell a painting when he was alive. He wasn't considered a success because he didn't sell anything. And there's a great moment in the film where Van Gogh is talking to a priest played by Mads Mikkelsen, and he says, God made me a painter for people who aren't born yet.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful line, but it's also about the artist judging himself. Van Gogh knows he's a good painter. I mean, Gauguin tells him the same. He knows he's good.
He has his doubts, but...
But he knows he has something.
He feels this vision that he wants to share.
And he's prolific. He's painting so much at the end
of his
life. He's
turned on. He's connected. And that's not our invention. I mean, that's he painted a painting a day toward the end of his life, pretty much. And also, his letters show how connected he was.
So even if he wasn't getting money, even if he wasn't being recognized, was there a satisfaction as an artist that he was getting that maybe an actor can understand? Do you start thinking about how we judge our own work as artists today against false metrics like box office and awards?
Well, you don't, because you know that things shift. And in a similar way, we know even in my lifetime, there are movies that were total duds when they came out that have stood the test of time and have become important and appreciated later. And the opposite is true as well. Things that were huge success fade, you know, because it's always a convergence of many things that conspire to put a value on something as subjective as an entertainment or a piece of art.
So is there a early Sunflowers in your career, the painting that nobody wanted to buy, and you look back and go, why didn't people like that? It was really good work. I mean that totally seriously. A performance that people like, maybe they didn't pay attention to, and you're like, that was one of my better paintings.
But I don't have those kind of judgments. But okay. I do. No, listen, for the experience, there's movies that I enjoy that I feel like they didn't get their day in court, or okay, they weren't appreciated. And there's other movies where I think, meh, and people love them. So
that wasn't that good.
Yeah. So it's not like I don't have opinions. I do. And it's not like I don't have favorites, but I don't lean on them because I don't learn anything from those kind of judgments, because I'm always trying to think about what I'm doing. And yes, you're self-critical, but not self-critical in anticipating the reception. You're self-critical in what is happening, how present you are, how engaged you are, whether you're distracted, whether you're being corrupted. You know, I'm forever mindful of corruption. You know, I've seen it many times. Some actors get better, some actors get worse, and they get worse because of certain corruptions.
And how do you guard against that?
Sit yourself down and slap yourself. You know, I don't know. You know, there's not a moral judgment. And when I even hear myself talk now, when I say better or worse, I feel a little ridiculous. But I think it's a personality thing. You know, you go to the sweet spot. You go to the spot where you feel helpful or useful or turned on, or you're part of, you know, it's not a game of doing this to get that. It's doing this to do this. That's what I try to keep returning to.
One of the things that this film seems very intentional about as it ends is not giving the audience easy answers. This is going to be a mystery. And it does feel that the point of view of this movie is that Van Gogh was really alive and wanted to continue to be alive and wanted to continue to paint.
Yes, I think that's true. Whether that's fact, who knows? You know, certain events of his life are debatable. history does lie. It depends who's writing it, right? We know that. But toward the end of his life, he's generally considered a suicide. But there's evidence that maybe he wasn't. And there are many curious things, including the fact that he started to be recognized. He wrote a very upbeat letter to his brother the day that he was shot, or shot himself, depending on your point of view. All that's in the mix. But in a funny way, that's not what the movie's about, because the guy died. That's what's essential. And it really doesn't matter, in a funny way, at least to me, I can only speak for myself, I guess, it doesn't matter so much how he died. This movie deals more with his painting and his approach to life and work.
Willem, great to see you.
Okay, great, thanks.
Willem Dafoe plays Vincent van Gogh in the new movie At Eternity's Gate. It opens in theaters on November 16th. And that's it for The Frame for today. You can subscribe to The Frame as a podcast wherever you like to listen. You can also find some of our stories on LAIST. That's LAIST.com. I'm John Horn. Thanks for listening. And thank you for supporting KPCC during our fall membership drive. I'll see you tomorrow.